Titus chapter number 2, verses 11 through 13. By the way, I wasn't picking on Todd about my water. Don't take that as a pick, my friend. He's faithful, faithful man. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. Bible says, "For the grace of God bringeth salvation, that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Tonight we start a series entitled Signs of the Times. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have a midweek stop period, Lord, where we give our time to singing praise to you, Lord, being ministered to by good music, and Lord, setting this time aside to pray. Lord, we've prayed for our country tonight. We have needs in our fellowship to pray over. We have missionaries, Lord, to pray over. And then, Lord, to hear the Word of God and just bring our minds back to glorious truths in your Word. Now, Lord, in these days, as we study these wonderful truths, God, I pray that you would use them mightily in our lives. Lord, help me to speak with clarity. Lord, I pray that we would be reminded of things we already know. I pray, Lord, that you would bring clarity where there might be confusion. And Lord, I pray that you would be honored. Lord, we look forward to the soon return of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. A poll came out in the last couple of weeks from the Joshua Fund that interviewed a number of Americans from all different walks of life and religions of life. From atheists to Muslims to Catholics to people that are churchgoers to people that are not churchgoers, 44% of them said this: they believe that what is happening in our country right now is leaning towards one of two things. One, that God is drawing people to himself, or two, God is bringing judgment and there's more judgment ahead. 44%, nearly one out of every two people in America, have said that in the last number of weeks through a survey. It's also interesting that 9 out of 10 pastors have been surveyed right before anything broke out with the coronavirus. 9 out of 10 evangelical pastors in America, that's a broader group, but it's not involving cults and things like that. 9 out of 10 said that they believe that Jesus Christ's return is quite near. And I think that there is a stirring interest in America, both by Christians and non-Christians, on what is God doing and what does the end times look like. I think that it's a good time to teach and preach on the end times. In this series, I want to review with you from the Scriptures what God's prophetic calendar looks like up through the millennial reign of Christ, beginning with the rapture of the saints. I'm not going to go through every single event. We've done that. You can get the series. I think it's online. If not, you can get it by way of CD, where we've laid every event in order as the Bible lays them in order. Powerful series. We're not going to go into that much depth, but we are going to go into some depth from the rapture to the millennium. During this teaching and preaching, I want to identify what are the signs of the times of the Lord's return. In the midst of this study, I would like to answer questions like, will the believer know who the Antichrist is? Will believers be forced to take the mark? What are the beginning of sorrows or the birth pangs that the Bible talks about? What are the signs of the times according to Matthew 24? And does that apply to the end times, or does it apply just to the destruction of Jerusalem? What takes place in Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who is it that is taken out of the way before that wicked is revealed? What do the end times and the last days look like as far as people's lives and how people live during those days? We're going to look and search at all and look at all of those different questions as we go through this study. What is God's attitude towards the remnant in Scripture? How bad will it get, preacher, before Christ comes back? Could have we interpreted the Bible wrong and believers won't be rescued until the end of the tribulation? There's a lot of uncertainty by those that don't know their Bibles today. And where do we find answers to all of those questions? Right in the Word of God. And that's where we're going to look over the next number of weeks on Wednesday night. Calendars are important. I don't know if your calendar is important to you or if you just have a calendar that's on the wall that you never look at. But calendars are important. If you talk to any of our staff members, you'll know that we have multiple calendars. My computer, off to the left-hand side, it lists about 10 or 12 different calendars. There's a calendar for the newsletter that tells us when the newsletter articles have to be turned in and when the newsletter articles have to be sent to Angie and when they go to the printer and when they're picked up and when the ladies work on them and when they go out to the post office to be sent out. We have a calendar called the Prophet's Chamber calendar. It tells us when people are coming in and staying in the Prophet's Chamber. We have a calendar called the Camp calendar. Kind of everything's on hold on that calendar right now. We have another calendar. I have a personal calendar that keeps track of oil changes and warranties and all kinds of details of my personal life. We have a calendar for, what else do we have a calendar for, guys? Teen calendar. We have a teen calendar, and we have a regular church calendar. And if I put all those calendars together and looked at everything that was going on all the time, we have a community calendar of community events that are taking place in our community. Oh, it would wear me out and overwhelm me. It's nice to be able to only look at one calendar. You know what's happening with our calendars these days? Probably a lot of what's happening to your calendar. Oh, this was coming up. Oh, but it's probably not going to happen. Cross it off, change it. Our calendars change, don't they? You ever had a dentist appointment and it was canceled? Or a doctor's appointment? Or some other appointment you had on the calendar and had to go, ooh, I can't make that because I got a schedule conflict. I better cancel that. Cross it off, and you're looking at your calendar, but our calendars change. But there's one thing that God reminded me in my calendar, in my calendars, and I found it in James chapter 4 the other day. And it says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know, I think that one thing we've come to in the last number of weeks is understanding that things change almost on a daily basis. And one thing that I've come to in the scriptures is, well, if the Lord wills it, that might happen. If the Lord wills. I don't know what the Lord's will is for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. I don't know that. If the Lord will. He said, man, if you're planning to go someplace and even there for a year and buy and sell, get gain, you better recognize your life's but a vapor. It may not last that long, number one. Number two, you better recognize God in all of the calendars of your life, so to speak. May I say this, our calendars change, but I want you to know God's calendar doesn't. God has a time where the Lord Jesus is going to return in the clouds in the rapture of the saints. I want you to understand tonight as we look at that blessed hope, I want you to understand some things about this. Number one, I want you to understand that it is the next event on God's calendar. Brethren, there's nothing that has to take place throughout all that we're experiencing. Well, this has to take place before Jesus returns. Oh no, nothing has to take place before Jesus returns. The very next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the saints. My friend, it could take place tonight. It could take place while I'm preaching. It could take place before we try to meet together here on Sunday. It could take place at any time. There's nothing that's hindering the Lord's return. You know, not every generation has been able to say that. You know, throughout biblical history, there are prophecies that had to take place. Jesus had to come to earth. You know, the Old Testament, they couldn't say that the Lord was going to return and at any moment, and it's the next event on God's calendar. There were prophecies to take place. But did you know that you and I are chosen for this day and age to come to a point in world history where there's nothing else that has to take place for Jesus Christ to come in the clouds? That is an amazing thought. That we're living in the day and age where there's no prophecies that have to be fulfilled in order for Jesus to return. I would say this, though, for the believers, the imminent rapture of the saints, imminent meaning it could happen at any moment, should have great impact on our lives. And I want to give you four impacts tonight of the blessed hope as we begin this series. Number one, it should have the impact of hope. The rapture of the saints, this wonderful truth that we look forward to, that maybe you're thinking, boy, more than ever, I feel close, preacher, to that. Hey, it ought to have an impact of hope. Look at verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope. While it can be fearful to watch how fast our world is changing as believers, we do know without a shadow of a doubt that every day we are getting closer to the rapture of the saints. We don't know when that's going to occur, but we know it's getting closer. Let me address something tonight that may be happening in somebody's heart that's under the sound of my voice. There may be a young person, yea, there may be an adult who is fearful about the Lord coming back. God didn't say unto us, looking for the binding fear here. He said, rather, looking for the blessed hope. I can understand how you battle fear with changes that are coming down the pike, so to speak. But when we think of the rapture of the saints, my friend, if you have fear, if you have panic, if it creates an uneasy feeling within your soul, if it creates dread and doubt, then God wants that dealt with in your heart. Truth of the matter is, somebody could be doubting their salvation in these days and thinking about the rapture of the saints and be very scared right now in your heart. And I want to address that tonight. Because the rapture of the saints for the believer was given as a blessed hope. It was not given as a binding fear. Could it be you're a child listening to the message tonight? You're a teenager. You're a young adult. You're an older adult. And fear wells up within you when we talk about the rapture. My friend, God wants you to know that you have eternal life. God wants you to have assurance of your salvation so that when the rapture of the saints comes to your mind, there is excitement, there is anticipation, there is comfort, and rather than fear and panic and dread. God's design for the rapture of the saints and the announcement of it is for hope. Now, I want to illustrate that for you tonight. There's a number of words in the Bible that speak of the same concept of hope. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 25, the Bible says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Then do we is that same word, hope. The word wait is the same word as hope in that passage, meaning a confident expectation and anticipation. Maybe your children or you're a young adult tonight or you're a teenager. Maybe you remember days like this. Mom's going away. And she gives you chores to do before you come before she comes home. And you play that time away and you do the things that you want to do. And then mom comes home or you hear the door open and you go, uh-oh, I forgot to do what mom told me to do. And so you're scared and you hustle and do it. Too late. Too late, my friend. If you're dealing with fear about the rapture of the saints and you're uncertain about your salvation and assurance of your salvation, don't wait till the rapture takes place. Don't wait till your life is snuffed out. Listen, Deb went to bed the other night. Deb Amspacher, 64 years old, never knowing that she would never wake out of her bed. That was the end of life the other night. You don't play games on this front. If you're dealing with fear, when the rapture comes and all saints are going to be taken up to be with Jesus forever in glory, and those that don't know Jesus are going to be left behind, if that creates fear in your heart, then you have a problem with your salvation. Either you're not saved or you need assurance of the salvation that you possess. Listen, talk to a parent about that tonight. Hey, talk to a friend about that tonight. Hey, call pastor, call one of the staff. Let's talk about that. That's an urgent need that needs addressed, and it needs addressed Tonight, you could be looking for the blessed hope. Jesus doesn't want you to live in torture of fear when we talk about the rapture. He wants it to be hope. When you're a little child, maybe you were having family in from afar, or you went to the airport to pick up a loved one that was flying in. Maybe you remember the kids watching. I remember going to the Philippines a couple years ago, and we came out of the gates, and Bill and Marcia and the boys were standing there, and the kids were standing on their tippy toes, and they were waiting to see our faces. There was an anticipation. There was an excitement. There was a confident expectation. There was biblical hope is what they were experiencing. Maybe you watch, and you're waiting for grandma and grandpa to drive in the parking lot. And your kids run to the door and they watch and they're waiting for that car to arrive. It's that anticipation. It's that hope. Maybe you've been at a fireworks display. You're sitting there and you can't wait for the fireworks to start. You're looking at your watch and it's 9:02 and you're thinking, man, they should start. When are these things going to go? Oh, here they go. Anticipation. Brethren, that's what it means to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get your eyes off everything down here. Get your eyes on the blessed hope. My friend, there's a wonderful event coming. It's called the rapture of the saints. This picture is to expect fully. The sad thing is here, expectations rise and fall. But this expectation of Christ is sure. Impact number one, the rapture of the saints was given to bring us hope. Number two, the impact of purity. 1 John chapter 3, if you will, in your Bibles. Turn there. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. The Bible says here, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what those glorified bodies look like. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hey, we do know that he shall appear. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, the world is obsessed with cleanliness today. I have Ocean for Men that somebody gave me. It's antibacterial hand gel. And I put some on right now. Everywhere you go, there are hand sanitizers, extra hand sanitizers everywhere. Antibacterial soaps, lotions, bleach. People want cleanliness everywhere. More than ever in America. We want it outwardly, but do we want it inwardly? You know, if you have the blessed hope in your heart, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. You know, everything that we see in the world is saturated with all kinds of impurities. The TV, the internet, books today, all of it's saturated with all kinds of uncleanness. Sin is viewed as the normal thing to do, but maintaining our purity with all that surrounds us takes diligence. I want to remind you tonight, Christian, Jesus is coming back. We know he shall appear. You say, preacher, how do I stay pure? You have to have the right standard. You have to have the right standard. Turn over in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, begin in verse number 15. Give you a couple thoughts along the lines of the impact ought to be purity. The rapture of the saints, it ought to bring about purity. Notice in verse number 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes we feel comfortable with a lower standard of purity because we compare our standard with the world, and it seems better than the world. But we need to remember that just because we are accepted in a group does not mean we are accepted with God. We will not be judged, Christian, on the standards of this world, but we will be judged upon the standards of God's Word. That's why God says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study this book. This book always points us to the right standard. And that standard is God's standard. I want you to understand, though, that look down, it also involves taking the right steps. Not only having the right standard, but taking the right steps. Look at me with verse 21, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 2. If a man therefore purge himself, oh, there's a purifying process. From these he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now here's the steps. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Purifying ourselves, and this ought to be the impact that the rapture of the saints has on you as an individual and me, means and requires fleeing youthful lusts, yea, indulgences. A lust is something that has to be satisfied within us. It may come out in your thinking like this. Boy, I really couldn't live without that. Boy, if I lost that in my life, I have no idea what I would do. Beware. Beware of a youthful lust or indulgence. What? My life is going to fall apart if you take that away from me. Beware, because the right steps to purifying take us fleeing youthful lust. Means to run the other way. We need to be stirred to flee, brethren. You need to be stirred to flee youthful lust in your life. If you're going to purify your heart, you're going to have to run from some things. You're going to have to not trust yourself in some situations. You're going to have to stay away from some wrong places. It's important that we flee. But it's also important that we follow here. Notice we ought to be motivated to follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with the right crowd. Purity involves taking these right steps, fleeing and following. You know, the rapture of the saints, God has a plan in mind. It is to impact us with hope, but it is also to impact us on the front of purity. Thirdly, it's to impact us on the front of urgency. Urgency. Urgent means importance requiring swift action. If we had a fire at the ministry building tonight, I believe I would call the fire company and I would say, hey, we have a fire. Can you get here like yesterday? We need you on site right now. It's important and it demands urgent action. All right? The rapture of the saints is imminent, meaning it could take place at any time to show us the importance of doing what we can do today, because there comes a day when no man can work. Jesus said it himself, I must finish the work of him that sent me, for there cometh a time when no man can work. The night cometh when no man can work. In Luke 19, verse number 13, he says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy or busy yourself with what you're supposed to be doing till I come. And of course, those were the talents and the resources that God had given. Of course, this is a picture of Christ's return. And we are, my friend, to stay busy. We're to stay busy with our spiritual gifts and our talents and our abilities and our callings and our spiritual duties and our concern for souls. How long till he comes? When could he come, preacher? Tonight. There's an urgency that you occupy till you come, that you are staying busy about the Lord's work and business in your life and the things that he's given you to use for his glory. Do it now. Occupy till he come. Use your gift of mercy this week. Use your gift of giving. Use your gift of teaching. Use your gift of helps. It's interesting to me on Facebook how people are using those different things. Being filled with some good things. Thank God for that. So much junk goes across our social media. But there are people that are trying to use it for right and using to broadcast truth and those things. Use your talent of music, drawing, writing, singing. Look for ways to serve. Create ways to serve the Lord in these days. Call the nursing homes today and just beat around the bush asking them how we could help them. Like the servants in this illustration, there are two types of Christians. Those who occupy themselves with God's work and those who do not. Which one are you? Dear Christian, beware of becoming complacent in these days. Beware of waking up and only thinking about yourself. Not I, but Christ. There are those who do nothing. Nothing. Christian, wake up tonight. Ask God to show you something you could do for for someone else. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say, are we ready, brother? Ready for the soul's bright home. Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? You say, preacher, the rapture of the saints, what impact should it have on me? It ought to bring hope to you, confident expectation, excitement, anticipation. Hey, Jesus is coming. It ought to cause you to be pure and purify yourself. It ought to cause you to be urgent about his work. Fourthly, it ought to comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, last passage of scripture I want to take you to tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. But I would not have you, verse number 13, to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now we know the Bible's talking about loss here. It's talking about loss of someone that is asleep, that maybe we love, that has died. Somebody that is on the other side of eternity, and we sorrow. But we don't sorrow as those which have no hope. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Some of the greatest verses in all the Bible on the rapture of the saints. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Today I spent some time with Nancy McWilliams. We lost her daughter yesterday. We talked about heaven, how it's a little sweeter than it was a couple days ago with a loved one there, how we have the hope of a grand reunion with loved ones who have gone to heaven before us. I said, Nancy, it's a little bit odd to have a child beat you to heaven. And then if the rapture took place today, that child would beat you up in the air too, because the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Listen, the rapture of the saints was given to us in the scriptures to bring comfort. All loss brings grief. You know, it's not just the loss of a loved one that brings grief. We lose other things in life. I was thinking about that today. People feel like they're losing their freedoms. It brings grief. Some are losing loved ones. It brings grief. Others are losing jobs. It brings grief. Some are losing security. Others are losing investments. Shakes you a little bit. No matter what you are losing, you don't have to have sorrow as those who have no hope. Why? What's the difference maker? 15 key words in the text. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul writes and he says, brethren, we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope. We have a great hope. Rapture of the saints, the next event on God's calendar. And so if you're grieving tonight over a loss, something practical, recently, hey, learn those 15 words. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friend, that's not dreaming. That's not a fantasy world. That's a reality. We need to live in the reality of the rapture of the saints. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, I want you to understand something tonight. There are people losing things today. Losing them like this. With no hope. Their sorrow is great. But dear Christian, you don't have the same sorrow. You have hope. You have the rapture coming. Brethren, when the rapture comes, all of this that we're living in now will flee away. It'll be a fleeting matter. The day he goes, call him home. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be in glory with the Lord Jesus forever. My friend, that's comfort. The rapture of the saints. How ought it to impact you? Number one, it should impact you with hope. If you're fearing tonight about the rapture, you need to get some help. You need to ask a brother or sister to come alongside. Hey, I'm struggling with my salvation. Man, I'm doubting. I'm not certain. I don't know where this came from, but I am living in torture. Dear Christian, don't go on like that. My friend, it's time to get beyond that. Get help from the Scriptures. Let's deal with that. Let's you find out if you're saved or not. According to the Scriptures, we can help you with that. Number two, it ought to impact us on purity. On purity. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Number three, it ought to impact us on urgency. Occupy. Stay busy for the Lord until he comes. Number four, it ought to impact us on comfort. Comfort. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, so shall we ever be with the Lord.